It's obviously been a slower time for music, but that doesn't mean that we don't have fire in our rotation. And I think that's why it's going to be cool to kind of go over what we've been listening to as of late. I think it's been a couple of months since we've done an episode like this. So it's going to be cool to see what you've been listening to, if there's any like new albums from this year that are in that rotation. If our rotation is more kind of geared towards some older stuff, we'll have to see what ends up happening. But guys, if you are enjoying this audio podcast, please make sure to leave us 5 stars. Leave us a review as well if you guys could. That would mean the world to us. And thank you so much for the support on these. But how has your music listening been lately, bro?
Man, it's been cool. I think it's been super enjoyable because more than ever now, you know, we're producing a lot of content and it's been fun because we've been trying to dip into other genres, more niche stuff. And I've been allowing myself to, you know, feel like a music fan for the first time in a long time, actually. I'm not going to lie to you.
You feel like more of a fan now than you would, like, let's say a year ago?
To a certain extent. I'll tell you why. It's just that as of late, like, I've been really trying to up my studying and I've been really trying to get deeper into album experiences and challenging myself on different genres to listen to. And as of before, let's say, like, I was obviously maybe, you know, doing that and I was doing it at a good rate, but I feel like I've been trying to improve as a music listener as of late. You know, I said myself at the beginning of this year that I would try to advance myself. I would try to go into other genres, explore new things, just explore different shit. And I feel like that's what I've kind of been on as of late. How about you? How's the year been going so far?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, most of my listening this year hasn't even taken part from 2023. Like, there's a couple of albums and songs that I've been spinning from this year. Scaring the Hose is one that, believe it or not, I still go back to every now and then. But, you know, besides that, maybe the little Yachty album when I'm in the mood. But most of my listening has been some older shit, just some like rare finds and other genres and just kind of being on that same explorative sort of, you know, mindset.
How do you feel like your listening habits have changed this year, let's say in comparison to last year? Because obviously, you know, we're evolving as listeners. We like new shit. We're going into new genres, new artists and different things, and still tackling the hip hop scene as bigger than ever and going into that sort of stuff. So has the dynamic changed? Like, what
are dynamic change?
Well, how do you find yourself listening to music? You know?
I mean, I don't know. I find myself more on like certain hunts. You know, I'll have certain days where I'm like, okay, you know what? Let me go through this playlist and find a random artist, tap into their catalog, see if I'm messing with their stuff. So I feel like, again, I'm more in that zone of being more discovery oriented and trying to find new shit. So it's been fun.
It has been fun.
But,
it's been fun for me too.
What's the first recommendation you got today?
Okay, listen, so speaking about some older stuff, I have been doing a lot of different deep dives into old Japanese jazz from the 70s, and it's been really inspiring me because I was listening to a lot of Miles Davis, I was listening to a lot of John Coltrane, and it always got me thinking, like, what's on the other side of the world? You know, what's going on in this beautiful genre that I love that's on the other side? Because unlike rap music, you know, for the most of the stuff that I'm listening to, there's not really lyrics. It's mostly music compositions. And if that's the thing, then I could get into really anything I want to, you know? And that's why I've been trying to explore this new sort of, I'd say, culture to music that I've never experienced before, because out of any other genre, I've never dove into, let's say, you know,
Japanese jazz, like city pop.
That sort of vibe. And, you know, for myself, it was like, okay, let's try and find somewhere that I could, you know, find the accessibility, but also be super impressed with the compositions that I'm listening to. Put it on in the background in the morning, because that's how I like to listen to a lot of my jazz music, and just fall in love with a soundscape and, you know, have it kind of be like the soundtrack to my life. And that was something that I actually found with Cat by Hiroshi Suzuki. And he was actually, I believe, a trombonist from Japan. He was born in 1933, which is crazy to think about.
Fire.
And he recently passed away in 2020 in the city of Las Vegas, because he had actually moved to the States and he was a part of Buddy Rich's band. And basically what happened was is that he wanted to produce this album, and he ended up moving back to Japan 5 years after, I believe, he ended up going to the States. And Cat is beautiful. It's just, it's dynamic, it's lush, it's just, it's absolutely incredible all the way through. And you have songs on here like Shrimp and so many others that are crazy. I'm gonna pull
it's
up
interesting
this
there's a lot of like English titles, because I feel like when it comes to a lot of Japanese albums, jazz albums at that, you find like, you know, the title's written in Japanese.
Well, this
right?
is the thing. Like, well, this is the thing, though, is that there's actually the Japanese version, which I'm guessing is the
original,
the original one, and it's absolutely incredible all the way through. It's the same music, I believe, from tracklist to tracklist, at least from what I've been listening to. But yeah, Shrimp Dance is incredible. Walk Tall is incredible. Romance was actually the song that had gotten me into the tracklist, and guess how I found this song.
How did you find it?
IG Reels, you know? And that's what's been fucking crazy, okay? Is that, like, my IG right now and my TikTok, well, I don't use TikTok, it's more YouTube Shorts, have been optimized for finding, like, these micro creators that are just giving me fucking incredible recommendations all the way through. I don't remember the IG account that posted this, but I think it was more for, like, a videoscape, like, piece of content where, like, someone was showing, like, a background of a travel that they were going into, and I'm listening to the song in the background, I'm like, the fuck is this?
The worst is when that happens and no one in the comments knows the name of the fucking song and it's not like fucking even said in like the title of
that's
the video.
That's it, and I'm just like, whoa, what is
so
this?
How did you find it?
So, okay, Shazam connects to my Apple Music from the new functionality that they put in. So if I'm anywhere, I could just press this button and it's going to give me the song on top.
Which
and
then, button? Let me see that.
Right over here, the Shazam button at the bottom, right next to the power button. Cool, and then it drives me directly to the Apple Music link. So I ended up going through it and I'm like, wow, this is incredible. And then more and more content has been recommended to me over the past month just based on artists that are similar. And another album that I've been going through actually that I want to talk about more in depth once I get more runtime with it is In the Groove by Yuro Yanaki, and I hope I pronounced the name wrong. I'm very sorry if I didn't, but I believe that's how it's pronounced. And it's absolutely incredible, and there's more of like a soul influence on it, and there's more of like a blues influence to it. So that's why it's like I'm starting to understand where everything's kind of coming from, and I'm discovering this new scene for the first time,
you know? I'm down to tap in. I mean, I know that one like sort of defining characteristic of Japanese jazz, like the bamboo flutes. I don't know if that's something you've been hearing in the production, but that's one of those like instruments that I absolutely love. But it's interesting just because I feel like, I think I saw a stat somewhere that Japan is one of the only countries in the world where jazz is still like, I think a top three leading genre or something like that. Like it's super popular in Japan, and it's crazy because at first, jazz wasn't really embraced like that in Japan.
That's interesting.
Because
I never
of
knew
different
that.
Like political stuff and whatever else. But
it's absolutely incredible, and I could understand why, just because you put these instrumentals on and your body is perfectly in sync. Like that's genuinely the way that I feel about the music right now. Just for more of like a surface value is that I'm putting it on and my mental clarity, like just the way that I think about certain things, even this is perfect ear cleansing music for me. Where let's say I'm doing a lot of material for the podcast
or like, an NBA YoungBoy album run.
Yeah, so like you're going through these really heavy albums, you know, aesthetically that are not necessarily always mixed the best, or there is literally no production that's kind of leading the thing, but you know you're still interested in the track list because obviously there's certain components that work that not like work better than others for albums.
Yeah.
But yeah, you put this on and it just completely resets you. You know, you feel like a newborn child again.
Yeah, it's fire. I'm down to tap more into that scene just because I love American jazz, so I'm sure that there's definitely a lot of shit to discover within that Japanese jazz scene. But my first recommendation is something that is way more mainstream to a certain degree, and this is a song that I showed you the other night, and it's the Vital song by Drake, which is unreleased. And what's interesting about this one is that when it comes to like bringing in leaks or unreleased songs into these music recommendation episodes, there always needs to have like a certain criteria, and this one sort of merited discussion just because it's one of those songs that unfortunately will probably never see the light of day. And I was doing some research behind it, and Drake actually performed this song in 2017.
Okay.
Then he performed it again in 2018, playing a bit more of the song, because in 2017, I think he only did like a minute of it. And then people were expecting it to actually make Scorpion's track list, but it never ended up surfacing. Then again, same sort of sentiment came around in 2020 when Drake was putting out Dark Lane demo tapes, a full project made up of these leaks and Lucy's. Everybody's like, okay, this fucking amazing leak is finally going to make it onto this album. And again, it never did. And what's crazy to me is like, I just discovered this off of TikTok like a week ago, bro. But when you go into like the hypersensitive like Drake Reddit community, they've been on this shit, bro. And it's already being hailed by a lot of Drake fans as one of his best ever songs. And the more that I'm listening to it, I'm really falling in love with it. And I think that it's Drake giving you one of his best ever melodic rapping performances. Not only that, but the hook is absolutely infectious. And what's cool too is that like after he delivers that hook, which by the way, if you guys do want to find this, it is only on SoundCloud, and you'll have to search in, I believe it's Drake Vital Expanded Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And once you find that, the hook only plays once, but the verse that follows that hook repeats the same sort of rhyme pattern as the hook, and I thought that was a nice touch too. Production's amazing. You have this moody texture to it, these woozy synths, and it's just an absolute vibe, and it's just one of those songs where you're left sort of like, you know, I would say bamboozled, bro, in the sense of like, how the fuck did this not make a Drake track?
Yeah, it was a very interesting listen because I feel like it also defines Drake's best, let's say, asset as an artist. And it's that middle ground between singing and the rapping. And we've spoken about this on the podcast so many times, but that was the first thing that I picked up upon. But not only that, but I've been listening to a Drake song on repeat. And like, it kind of plays maybe on a similar vibe to this one. And it's actually Can I off of Care Package, the outro, where like it's a moodier song by Drake. He's getting very deep with his singing performance. And it's kind of been of a Drake song that I've had on rotation for a minute now. You know, yeah. That's been my Drake
There's
song.
A lot of those underrated Drake gems. But this is one that I just hope gets resurrected, bro. Like, I feel like it's a
you
long
think it
shot.
Ever makes it?
I don't think it ever makes a track list. But hopefully, like, he can just throw it up, bro. Like, throw it up the same way he threw up, like, a Search and Rescue, you know? Like, no rollout, just give it to the fans because I'd love to have this on my Spotify.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's a really well-put-together song, and it doesn't even sound like a snippet or a leak. Like, it's really, it's there.
High
you
quality.
You know, it is high quality. How was the crowd reception when he was playing it?
Was it
fan
great,
footage,
bro.
Or was it
It was
like,
fan footage from a concert, and people were fucking loving it, bro.
Of course people are going to love it, especially, like, the Drake diehard fans are going to love
but
that
that's
sort
the thing
of stuff.
Is that this doesn't usually happen. Usually if there's a leak, bro, like, the artist is not performing it. He's not hyping it up. He even put out a snippet 3 days before Scorpion came out of this song. So I feel like maybe there was a sample clearance issue. Something had to have gone wrong, bro. It doesn't make sense to me.
So if you went to, let's say, Drake and you had one like ask, like I just want to ask, would this be the song that you would want from him?
This one and Mention Me. That's
oh,
another
yeah.
one
Mention Me is incredible.
That needed to be on either CLB or Honestly Nevermind. It needed to be on there, bro.
Honestly,
like, take
Nevermind,
out Fountains.
Yeah.
Also, this song Vital to Me. Might be a hot take. It's better than maybe every song on Scorpion to me.
Really?
I really.
No.
It's
Stop
really that,
that
good.
You're overrating it now. I don't agree.
Guys,
I don't
let
agree
us know, guys.
Not,
is that
not,
a hot
it
take?
It doesn't beat like an 8 out of 10 or a Sandra's
it's
Rose.
It's on that
or,
level, brother.
You know, it's there, but it's definitely not like... It's not going to be those ones.
It's
that I
high
just
up for me. But what's your next one, bro? What do you got for us?
All right. So listen, man. You know, speaking about some foreign albums, I went into another one, and I've been trying to get a big culture. And you know, I fuck with this.
So
album.
You took a trip. You took a multiple trips. For
yeah,
this,
but I've been on
this
trip multiple times. But it's nice because I usually play this album around this time. And this is actually "Ignorance Is Bliss" by Skepta. Came out in 2019, and I've never spoken about this album on the podcast. And I wanted to bring it in just because of the amount of value that this gave me. So interesting enough, I only got into the album a year ago. So I was super late to the party, but I was like, you know what? I'm trying to explore different scenes. I'm trying to go for it. Let me go to more of a mainstream, more accessible album just to test the waters, you know? And obviously, I knew about Skepta, and I was low-key already familiar with the project because Fajella was big on it. My little sister loves Skepta as well, and she was always recommending me this album. So finally, last year, I'm like, fuck it. You know, let me go through it, and let me actually play it and see what people are really enjoying about it because... it's his one of his most well-received albums. I mean, it did made a lot of top of the end of year lists for 2019. People did enjoy it, and honestly, once I heard Bullet From a Gun and just the amount of quality that could go into one track, it was absolutely incredible. Like, there's this sort of like I would say electronic EDM implement to the like to the sounds that are being used back in like in back of the drums, and yet you get this sort of aesthetic where the production feels so intense, but yet so simple, bro, and leaves so much room for Skepta to come through and do his thing. So, example, on songs like Bullet From a Gun or even a Grease Mode, Red Rum, What Do You Mean? Same Old Story, which is more of like a storytelling song where he's talking about a relationship. Like, there's certain songs on here that have a certain placeholder for any sort of mood that you want to. So, the accessibility factor is cool too. Plus, if you guys are, let's say, super new to the UK scene, there are certain tracks on here that will allow you to get into other artists. So, example, you have someone like Keon Redrum. You also have Jay Huss on What Do You Mean? So you could also go into those catalogs if you do enjoy the features.
Does he fully lean into like grime, would you say, on this album?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'd be uneducated if I'd say
but
yes.
But he's
or
like,
no.
Is he super aggressive and like...
He's super aggressive, but he also gets mellowed out at certain points.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't say full grime because there's not like that grimy sound. It's like the production's super futuristic to a certain extent. So yes, maybe you do still find that because it's Skepta on certain tracks, but I do feel like I don't want to contain it to only grime music because it is more than that. And Skepta is fantastic throughout the entire project. He's personal. And what I love about Skepta the most is his fucking flows, bro. Like, this guy locks in. And as we were just talking about in the Freddie Gibbs episode that we were just doing, well, Freddie Gibbs in the episode we were just doing, it's the same thing. you can't break him. Like, the guy's going to get locked in, and he's there, and he is absolutely going crazy. And interesting enough, I got into this album at the same time as Miss Marone and the Big Steppers was rolling out. Like, last May, a year from, like, this, I was bumping this album, Miss Morale. Those are like my most bumped albums of that May period.
So would you say the best song to sort of start with to get into the album, would it be Bullet From A Gun? Like,
absolutely.
Would you,
and okay, it's the most popular song on the album as well. It's the intro track. Like, I don't think you'd have to go anywhere else, to be honest. And if you enjoy that, well, run the entire album. It's 13 songs, 42 minutes. It's a super nice listen. No filler almost. I mean, it's up to you guys if you do fine, but I have been really enjoying this album as of late.
Top 10 of 2019? Would you put it on that echelon?
If I had to go back and do my list, I haven't revisited like 2019 in such a long time, so I don't want to like say something.
Yeah,
that
I've heard a few tracks
on
off of this Ignorance Is Bliss album, but I have to give it a, you know, it's merited full listen and really take it in for what it is. But I'm gonna get into a low-key album. Before I do, I wanted to talk about the Big L and Jay-Z 7-Minute Freestyle. And we were talking about Lifestyles of the Poor and Dangerous for an episode we had just done, and it just made me want to revisit this freestyle because Coleman had actually sent this to us months and months ago, and I had loved it when I first heard it, and then going back to this now, I was blown away by the sheer lyricism. And what's crazy is that like Jay-Z and Big L were super tight.
What production did they use for the freestyle?
I don't think it was a known beat. It wasn't like a classic beat
or anything.
But what's cool about like their relationship as a whole is the fact that Big L, 3 days before he was tragically murdered, he was supposed to sign to The Rock.
Yeah,
it was going
to
happen. That was a deal that was going to go down. And unfortunately, he passed away. So it was amazing to go back to this freestyle. And you guys can find it on YouTube, by the way, if you just write 7-Minute Freestyle, Big L and Jay-Z. Write HD quality for it. And it's just cool to see that a lot of people don't put Big L and they're all timeless, but they have two verses each on this freestyle. All of them are fucking amazing. But again, you have proof in the pudding that Big L was a better lyricist and a better writer than Jay-Z. And you have amazing bars like cops drop when my Glock make a pow sound. I'm from a wild town. You know my style clown, so bow down. Like all of these internal rhymes sprinkled in. And you're like, okay, this is not just free associative rap where he's sort of saying random words to make them rhyme. Like, no, this is a story that he's telling you. Like he's taking you through maybe a murder or like different crazy shit, but it all flows super well. One of the best freestyles that I've ever heard. So if you guys do want to really be put on game with two of the best lyricists going back and forth, this is an amazing place to start.
That's very interesting. Would you say it's one of the best freestyles you ever heard?
One of the best I've ever heard, but without a doubt.
Wow, that's interesting. What year did they do it in?
They did it, I believe, in 95.
Wow. Okay, so you're still getting a very young Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, and you hear it in his voice. You hear that he's...
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Okay, because that's before 96. That's before his debut.
That's before Reasonable Doubt, bro.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, I'm going to have to go check it out. I never checked it out. Wow, thank you. I appreciate the recommendation.
Yeah, you got to get into that.
Okay, but
sure.
Bring me the album, bro. What do you got?
The next album that I have, well, the first album of today's episode is actually Malz Monday's Look Both Ways.
Oh, this is interesting. I've heard of this project.
Bro, Malz Monday is one of the most underrated lyricists in the game, and I actually found this one day. I was just going through the Mellow Bars playlist on Spotify. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it's more like chill, hip-hop, lyrical, bar-heavy shit. And I found this song called Higher, and it had like this chipmunk soul beat, and I was totally immersed from the jump. And then I go see that he just dropped a project, and this is an amazing example of a DIY artist where he produced every song on here. He raps on every song on here without any features. He even made his own artwork, like a really, really talented guy. I think the only like areas in which he had gotten help for was the mixing and mastering of the project. But this is probably a top five rap album of the year for me so far.
Really?
The opener is beautiful and it'll convince you to listen to the 7 other songs on here. And it's the passion that's oozing out of Malz. I mean, the fact that he doesn't want to be compared to anyone unless it's the GOAT such as Eminem or a Nas or a Hov or a Biggie. And even just like his perspective, it's a super fresh perspective where he's taking you through the struggle of being an artist, bro. He's like, I don't give a fuck about how many followers I have. I don't want clout. I just want people to know me and respect my art. Like, to me, my full circle moment would be having my own mural in my home city painted. You know, like that's where his sort of vision and his focus is on, is being respected as an MC. And the whole project is super personal. You have songs on here like My Brother's Keeper. You have songs like Higher that I mentioned already that are just absolutely phenomenal. I would say if you're a fan of blues music or maybe Code of the Friends music, this would be a perfect match for you. Boom bap heavy production, super jazzy samples, and one of those albums that for whatever reason just slid under the radar.
You know? Very interesting. I'm going to have to go through it. And what do you like the most about his artistry? Like, what do you think he's the best at?
I would say his delivery, bro. Like, just super mellow, super chill, relatable.
Very clear in tone. Like,
very
that sort
clear.
Of a, okay, I
and
see.
And just is able to glide through these chill productions, bro.
I really like that. Is it really top five?
You're going to fuck with it. Like, I know what you're into, and this is one of those albums.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, I'm going to definitely have to give it a listen then. How many tracks is it?
8 songs, 22 minutes.
Oh, that's easy
Breezy
money.
Listen,
yeah,
bro.
That's easy money. I'm going to have to maybe
Slick
put that on
tonight.
Slick
wordplay on here, a lot of quotables.
I'll put that on tonight. Yeah,
it's a relaxing album.
After the live stream, I'll put that on. Absolutely.
You should, bro.
But okay, listen, I want to actually go into a song. I know that I did my albums, and now you're getting into your albums, and I'm going into my songs now. This is actually to be No Funny featuring Yoshi T by Cecil Swank. And,
nice.
We had gotten recommended to Cecil Swank's music in our new recommendations live stream on Twitch, where you guys send us in music submissions and we dive into the music. And as soon as I heard Cisco's music, I'm like, oh fuck, I'm like, this is really good. Then I started to do more research on him as an artist, and he's a very interesting artist. Okay, so he's actually a graduate of Berklee College, and he is actually a multi-instrumentalist. Exactly. And jazz pianist producer based in Brooklyn, bro. And he has a project out that released in 2020. I believe it is called, hold on. And I'm going to save this for another day because I haven't gotten the chance to really like dive in as much as I should have. Let me open up his Apple Music. Cecil Swank. Beautiful. I put what it be there. Here
Wait,
we go.
Was it Cecil Swank himself that had sent in the submission?
Was it Cecil?
I'm just wondering.
No, I don't think so. Okay, yeah. So, No Funny also released as an EP, like if you go to his Apple Music. And then he attached all the same there. And this was another single that he ended up releasing in 2023. And this one has a lot more of an alternative vibe rather than a rap vibe, where he's more in like his Steve Lacy sort of bag and showing off his duality as a rapper, but also a musician, and starting to get more into his singing bag and extending his harmonies out and really more focused on that aspect of his music. So then I was like, fuck, that's really cool. I'm going to have to dive into more, because now it's like, what sound is he better at and what do I enjoy more? Or is it a blend of absolutely everything? And I'm going to bring this into a future episode just to keep you guys updated with how I enjoy it. But I believe he ended up dropping Some Things Take Time in 2022, but I never went through it. It's 11 songs as a whole, only 24 minutes, and it features Saba. So I'm gonna have to go through this project and let you guys know how I enjoy it. But
does he produce all of his music for the most part? Like from what you saw, like that song,
yeah,
at least. Did
he
produce that song?
He got featured in Pigeons and Planes, and I ended up going through the article, and I believe that he did mention that he does all of his own production. And I'm not sure about the mixing and mastering or the sequencing aspect of the album, but for the most part, I do know that he takes care of his entire sound. And what I love about these two tracks in particular, as I said, is that it shows his duality. So you get onto something like No Funny, it's him flexing a bit more of his bar work. It's a bit of him being quirky. And if you guys are into that Saba, Smino, sort of Monte Booker aesthetic, he's perfect for you. And it's a really nice listen, bro, for those two singles. But I'll let you know how I enjoyed the album.
Yeah, it sounds like it. If it kind of exists in that like Steve Lacy, Saba type of world, it has my interest just off
of
that.
It's quality, yeah. And the production within that aesthetic is always flawless. It's always very lush and relaxed, and it's always very bright and sunny, you know? And that's what I like about, let's say, Saba's music for the most part. Even something like Monte Booker's production, or even Black Swan from Smino that we were just talking about the other day. It's very uplifting. It's very bright, and it's easy on the ear, you know? And it's some of the best produced music you can get in
hip-hop. Like caresses the eardrums, you know?
Absolutely.
That's what it does.
And I do think I have a hot take, but when it comes down to, let's say, that whole Saba, Smino sort of aesthetic, you know, more of the quirky sort of shit, even like, let's say, someone like No Name, they have some of the best production in hip-hop right now.
Yeah.
If not the best. Like, aesthetically, to the ear, like, it's fucking flawless. It's always super quirky. It's super out of your element. It always tests you as a listener, but once you end up grabbing towards it, it's all simple. And this is exactly what I get out of Cisco. So, shout out to Cisco.
Yeah, fire. I'll have to check out that project he put out. My next one is actually going to be a classic album from a different genre, though. This is Exodus by Bob Marley and the Wailers. Definitely one of Bob Marley's most popular albums. And of course, it has classics on it like Jammin', like One Love, like Three Little Birds. But actually, you know, I've been on this album for years. It was one that my family sort of always would play when I was a kid.
Are your parents big Bob Marley fans?
I wouldn't say, like, they're not like huge music fans, period, believe it or not.
That's interesting. They're not big music fans?
No, they love music, but they're not like a music nerd the way that I am. You know, like that's the way that I would put it. Like my brother is like really big into music. I'm big into music. But
I always
my
like
parents,
your
not as
father,
much.
Your father, though, was always big into music.
He was huge into rock, like especially like growing up in the 70s and the 80s. He was a massive rock fan. But yeah, going back to Exodus, I was actually bumping this when we came back from the club Saturday night.
I had that
drive alone going back home, and we had just spent like fucking 2-3 hours listening to hip hop bangers. And I'm like, I need something else. I need something refreshing.
Yeah, get me out of the
movie
ear
home.
Cleanser.
I need the ear cleanser. I need to change it up. So I bumped Exodus, put a full blast in my car for a nice like 30 minute drive home.
I think the old port to the East End is only like 30 minutes.
Notre Dame was pretty clear too, so it was a pretty easy ride. But windows down, was just fucking feeling the grooves. And what's interesting about this album is the fact that it's sort of split into two parts. Like the first part of the album deals more with politics and sort of the governmental corruption that was going down in Jamaica in the 70s. And Bob Marley, I don't know if you knew this, but he actually recorded this album in 1976 after there was an assassination attempt on his life.
Really?
He ended up, you know, leaving Jamaica, going into London, where he recorded this album. And I always thought that was a cool story. So like I was saying, first half more political, second half more easygoing, more focused on like messages of love and faith, and more, I would say, community and like songs you can, everyone can chant to.
Yeah, like love
more
oriented.
breezy songs from Bob. And yeah, it's grown to become one of my favorite albums ever, to be honest with you, just because he's able to provide this powerful rhetoric about politics, but sort of wrap those songs up in these messages that have these beautiful songs attached to them. You know, you have songs like So Much Things to Say, where you have a nice bass line and you have some slow played guitars and background humming. That's another thing too, is that like the work his band has done over time for him, bro, is just, it's underrated, bro. Like the Wailers are so fucking talented.
Remember when we were learning about Bob Marley's like theory and music theory and music class back in elementary school?
Yeah.
Because if you guys don't know, like when Lou and I went to elementary school, we had to take music class and like learn about music theory. And shout out to Mr. Simone. If somehow you're listening to this, you put Lou and I onto a lot of game.
A lot
as
of
young
classics. Kids.
A lot of like Miles Davis. Like that was low-key him. You know, Stevie Wonder, low-key him. James Brown. He had us singing James Brown songs, bro, for like concerts and shit. And remember, I'm not sure, but we had to play the Congos.
It was for Three Little Birds.
I think
right?
it was for Three Little Birds. Yeah, and it was absolutely incredible. So, you know, shout out to Mr. Simone. But I love this album too. Like, I wanted to bring this into like my smoking playlist for one of the last episodes that we did, but I was like, that's too basic. You know,
it's an album that's a joy to listen to. You know what I mean? It's one of those that just like, it breathes positivity and like just peacefulness, bro. Like you can listen to this and just like, this is the best music to listen to while smoking a cigar. You know what I mean?
It's just absolutely
pure relaxation.
Sunny day.
And I've heard it being played in Little Havana for sure.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely one of those.
Which, by the way, is a cigar lounge in our city. But also love the outro on here called Punky Reggae Party. Beautiful electric guitars, nice percussion, bouncy grooves. Amazing album, guys. Exodus by Bob Marley, excuse me. But what do you have next for us?
What do I have next for you? Okay, let me go on to LA Times by Nana featuring Reason. And this was another song that was recommended to us on the Twitch stream. So shout out to the whole community. You guys are doing a great job. And I was like, fuck, man, I have to bring this in and maybe bring it to the audio podcast for how good it is. And Nana's going back and forth with Reason on two separate verses. And what's so interesting about this is that there is this dark, obsolete like feeling to the production with a hint of West Coast production, and though when those two worlds collide, it makes for some of my favorite beat making that you could get within the genre. And what Nana and Reason do so well here is that they're kind of piggybacking off of each other. So they're world building. And Nana starts off the verse, you know, kind of putting you onto the scene, you know, talking about how, you know, he's not even involved in gang culture, but the people that he keeps around him kind of are.
Or even just the places where he finds himself, he's surrounded by gang members.
And I believe he's at the mall and he catches Reason. And Reason is playing the villain and they catch each other. And as soon as Reason spots him, they're like, oh, okay, we're going to press this guy. And then it goes into Reason's verse and that's where you get the back and forth where Reason's questioning him. And what I love about this is that the scene building feels almost like a play where it's like, oh, the back and forth is going together. And this could almost be interpreted into, let's say, something for theater because the world building is so well done towards it. They're talking about certain things that you wouldn't get outside of the LA, you know, gang culture within this song. And it feels very cohesive as a writing piece because the storyline is fulfilled from start to finish, and I really enjoyed it. And this is more for like of my music nerds, you know, the guys that like to go into songs and dissect. But this is also a really nice song to bump on the reg, you know, like the production is cool. This knocks in the car too. I've given it the car test. It works really well, so I've been enjoying this
song.
That's
the beauty of it, is that it has like that poetic substance where, you know, you have that dialogue that's so immersive and you're kind of at the edge of your seat listening to it because you don't know how the story is going to end.
And not only that, Banana released an album called Save Yourself in 2020. Like the last recommendation that I brought in, I'm still in the process of going through these albums. So I'm probably going to end up bringing it on to another music recommendations podcast. But nonetheless, guys, go bump the song and go bump the album before me, even if you want.
Yeah, I vouch for that.
It's really fucking good.
Amazing song. Next up, I have Denzel Curry's new EP, Live at Electric Lady. And Denzel is one of my favorite live performers. I had the pleasure of seeing him for the Taboo tour. So when I saw this, or when I have like any opportunity to hear any live performances from Denzel, I'm invested, bro. I'm all the way in there. And what's interesting about this one is that it's a Spotify exclusive. So sorry for any of our Apple Music listeners, and sorry to you, Ant, but you will not be able to listen to this EP, and you are missing out. I'm not going to lie to you. The majority of this EP is Zell performing songs from Mel My Eyes See Your Future. He does Walkin' on there. He does Angels. He does X-Wing. And by the way, the X-Wing performance is absolutely...
Even the X-Wing performance on the previous Deluxe was really good, too. That was a serious performance.
It's cool to hear X-Wing without the auto-tune. Like, that's a version that I prefer, over the auto-tune version, because you're just hearing him with his raw vocals and it sounds absolutely amazing. So that was one of the standouts off of this. Apart from that, I mean, you know, it's a live album. So you're getting trumpets, you're getting saxophones, some beautiful live instrumentation that complement these songs that were already amazing. Apart from that, one of the biggest talking points that I'm seeing is people talking about Denzel's cover of the Erykah Badu classic, Didn't You Know? And he's singing his heart out on this one. The only thing is that, like, the original, Didn't You Know, is like, one of my favorite R&B songs ever. So I don't know if it quite, you know, holds a candle up to that original version, but it's still solid nonetheless. And there's also a brand new song on this. It's called Introduction. It's a hardcore rap performance. Some of the more aggressive styles that Zell is known for, he brings into this track. And what's interesting is that he also raps that, you know, I don't want to maybe be rapping in the future. While he's tearing up the mic, he's like, I don't know if like my next step is to rap, which is maybe him hinting at his next album being the R&B album.
He is speaking about that quite heavily.
And
actually,
his music is now translating to him singing. Like, I feel like he's sort of opening the floodgates for us to embrace him as a vocalist and as a singer. So that's another thing that is interesting. So if you guys are big fans of Denzel and his catalog, I would say this is a good recommendation because this is maybe a taste of what we're going to get with that upcoming R&B album.
So how did you like the weekend as a whole, though? It was an interesting weekend.
It was a cool weekend. Yeah, bro. I mean,
there was a cool weekend for drops. I mean, you had the new Conway album that really wasn't all that great. But I mean, listen.
A lot of people are still praising it on Twitter, bro. I don't know. People are enjoying it. And
the Twitter opinions get me, though.
Yeah.
The Twitter, it can't be.
It turns into groupthink, bro. Like, you have one big account that says, this album's fire, and everyone just fucking tags along.
And that's not, if that's genuinely your opinion.
No, I'm not talking about every single, like, user on there, but
it's kind of fucked to see how, like, this album is not the greatest. Like, it's really
it's
not
a mid-album.
It's really not up to Conway standards. And if you've been a fan of Conway for such a long time, you know that, hey, like, you know, there's a lot out there that you could go into, whether it's Lulu or even older, bro. If you want to go older, you could go older. And then this just feels incomplete as a project. And that's like the sort of way I was left feeling after that album. Like, never felt like this about a Conway album.
It's directionless, bro. It's literally his worst album, and it's just, yeah. It's, to me, it's like seeing a Freddie Gibbs put out a bad album. Like, it's really someone of that caliber, bro.
Because you're going through it, and you're like, what the fuck did I miss out on? Let's go through this track list one more time, just to see, like, did you keep absolutely anything from it?
I'll be honest, like, I'm not gonna tag along with this. I'm not gonna recommend any songs because I personally haven't.
Brick Fair is fire.
That's it. There's a couple of good songs, but like, there's nothing I've even saved, to be real. Let me go through this again.
I'll go Brick Fair, and then after that, Brooklyn Chop House. Actually, if you guys want to hear a really impressive Benny verse, it's super fire. But don't go through those Fab lyrics. The Fab lyrics, like, they're empty. Like, there's really nothing.
The Chosen was decent. Flesh of My Flesh was not bad. There's a few.
Have you gone through the new Destroy Lonely album? Have you given it the
No,
listen?
But I've been hearing nothing but bad things, I'll be honest.
Really? You've been seeing bad reception around
it? I've been seeing all bad reception around it, yeah.
I have to give it my listen.
You're down to go through?
I have to. Like, I want to see what he was able to do. It's just that, like,
I'm curious.
We're recording this only, like, 3 days after it was released, so I haven't gotten to it yet. I still got to catch up. But, yeah, I was talking to Fajel, and he was like, nah, it's really not all that great, like...
He wasn't liking it either. He actually gave me a great recommendation. Shout out to Fajet. This new Young Senju album, which is called Black Man Wonderland.
Absolutely.
I gave it probably a listen where I went through like five different songs. I still have to do the full listen. But guys, this album sounds amazing. It's really cool because it reminds me of To Pimp a Butterfly in a lot of ways in terms of that jazzy mixed with modern fused production. You have Young Senju going into some really deep topics, and he just sounds like a rapper with a lot of soul, a lot of potential. So that's another recommendation.
Actually, Senju DM'd us after that tweet that we put out. He said thank you for the tweet.
That's fire. Yeah, he's getting a lot of buzz right now.
He's a great artist, absolutely. Like, he could do a lot of different things. And Fajet did send me this recommendation, I believe it was, what, a week ago he sent it to you?
Yeah, about a week ago, bro. And it's been getting a lot of buzz.
What's your favorite song off the project?
In the music communities. One song I liked was Mama Callin'. That was a really good one.
I'm going to have to go through it. I haven't gone through it yet.
She Roll Up is another one. But yeah, there's a lot of quality on there. But another recommendation that the community actually sent over to us in that Twitch stream is actually Unusual by Zaheer featuring Phoenix James and Wise Boy Jeremy. And amazing song. Starts off with like this gloomy piano riff. You have some whispered vocals. And it just feels like you have these whispered vocals and then he starts to raise his voice. It's almost as if in real time he's putting his thoughts into words. And I love the way that was sort of presented on that song.
There's also a gloomy sort of aspect to the production that gets you into a certain zone where you're forced almost to pay attention to his vocals. And you know what it reminded me of?
Mm.
It reminded almost like a JPEG Mafia sort of delivery.
Really?
Go back and listen to it.
I didn't get that. It kind of felt more soulful in terms of the rapping performances.
No, I'm sorry. At the beginning, though, like you're going to see. Yeah, with the lower pitch sound, almost
whispering. The transition, I see what you're saying.
You could really see that in there.
Stunning vocals from Phoenix James as well. And just, some powerful lyrics about overstressing and about doing everything you can for survival. And Zaheer actually ended up DMing me, showing us love for reacting to it. And he has some quality on the way. He's working on a compilation album,
which
is going to come later this year. So I'm definitely going to be tapped in with everything that he has. And he produced this song, and he's more of a visual director who's now tapping more into music. So whatever moves he has coming up, I'm really excited to see what he brings. So
that's interesting.
That was
The recommendations Twitch stream was absolutely fire. I got a lot of cool stuff, but I'm going to end off with one more from the recommendation stream that I got in. You guys send in so much fire. I've been bumping this all weekend, and it was actually Fetty by Playboi Carti with Dash and Maxo. Yeah. And I don't know how I never heard this. I mean, apparently it's like a must listen for any Carti fan from like the sort of like the depths of the sea, one of those songs. So it was interesting to go through it, but it's an awesome fucking vibe, and I love getting hyped to like that psychedelic Carti sound. You know, when he gets into like that psychedelic sound where you just feel like you're in a fucking trance, that's what you get from Carti all the way through. The Dash performance could have been a bit better, I'm not gonna lie to you, but it's still passable for you. I'm like, yeah, fuck it, I'll listen to the verse, I think it's cool. But Maxo Cream, bro, is above and beyond everyone on this song. Like, he's absolutely shredding his last verse, and I wish maybe it could have been a Playboi Carti Maxwell Cream song to where, like, maybe you only get Cardi on the hooks and then you get two full Maxwell.
Yeah, because they kind of carry the song, to be honest.
They do, they do. And maybe the song is a bit long, but I mean, regardless, though, like, you guys are still going to enjoy it. They have a fire video for it out right now. And yeah, I've been bumping that over the weekend,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, one more recommendation that I'll go through is actually Imagine by Snoop Dogg featuring Dr. Dre and D'Angelo. And this is one of, if not the most underrated Dre and Snoop Dogg song probably ever. It comes from Snoop's album called The Blue Carpet Treatment, and I recently heard it for the first time in years. And what's crazy is that song never charted on the Billboard Hot 100, doesn't have any plaques, and yet it sounds like one of those epic grandiose collabs between Snoop and Dre. You're getting an amazing Dr. Dre verse that's super conscious, and the whole like idea of the song is to imagine different possibilities and different sort of scenarios that could have gone down in hip-hop and how it would have affected the whole genre. Like, you have lines where Dr. Dre's rapping about, like, you know, imagine if Biggie had a son and he was actually able to raise his family the way that he had wanted to, and just kind of going into these big what ifs, like, what if Def Jam never existed? But they're not just blurting out ideas. They're sort of, I would say, making them progress gradually throughout the song. You have D'Angelo on the hook, who sounds absolutely amazing. You have a very nice, calm beat on there as well with an amazing sample. And again, I was just blown away that this song exists and no one really knows about it, or at least doesn't talk about it.
From our generation, for sure.
Yeah, for it being such a classic West Coast song, at least to me, the way that I feel about it, I was just pretty blown away by the fact that, you know, it doesn't get the love that it deserves. But yeah, bro, it's gonna be cool to see where this year progresses. I hope like by the next time that we do one of these episodes where we talk about like just our weekly rotation, we have some quality shit from 2023 that we can really go into.
But
like
we brought some crazy shit in today.
Dedicated to like low key releases from the year or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's been a bit dry, but guys, listen, it's gonna get better. And I mean, it's super fun doing these, and we hope you enjoyed this episode. But you know, I have to ask you one more thing before we end off, bro. Give me a couple of catalogs you want to visit, like just a couple
some
of
catalogs that
yeah,
I
like
visit.
Where do you want to go? Let's say within the next couple of weeks, just for like your own personal music taste, like, where are you trying to go?
Redman. I want to do a Redman dive.
Okay, that's
without a doubt. Who else would I say I'm down to tap into? Erykah Badu. I've only done one of her albums, so I want to see what else there is in store there. Where else would I go with this? I don't know. Those are the kind of the two that come off the top. What about you?
I have some classic artists as well. I was actually starting to go back into a lot of old Sean Paul, bro, but like old Sean Paul, you know, like for the summer, getting into it, get some different tunes in the car, you know, and really going into some like really classic shit, you know, that I may have never heard before. And when I was younger, when my auntie Melissa used to pick us up, like we were only listening to like a couple of albums, and it was always Sean Paul. It was always Lauryn Hill, and it was always the Fugees. Like that's all that she would listen to.
All kind of family friendly.
And Shakira, yeah, like that was really her rotation back then. So I was kind of thinking, I'm like, wow, I'd love to go back down like memory lane and just revisit all of these projects. And Wyclef Jean, I want to go visit his solo catalog and see what he has in store. My cousin Mike was just talking to me about, you know, how much Wyclef Jean that he, you know, used to bump. And this was a long time ago. I went over to his house for a smoke session and we were just talking about it. He's like, bro, you have to go through this. And I was like, okay, I'm going to make it a point at a certain time. So
yeah, without
it's been it's been a fun week for listening, though. It has been. I've been diving into a lot of old shit, and I think that's what this year has granted me. But don't worry, guys, it's gonna get better. So listen, thank you so much for coming into another audio episode. As Lou mentioned at the beginning of this episode, if you guys could leave us a review, it would mean the world. Lou, any final words?
Guys, as always, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for checking in every week. We hope you guys are enjoying the experience, and we have a lot of cool concepts on the way for you. Thank you guys for coming in, and we'll catch you on the next episode.